Welcome to The Wedding Band Show, the podcast that talks to wedding suppliers and helps you learn what's important to consider when planning your big day. This podcast is brought to you by the Brian McDermott Band.
Hi and welcome along to another episode of The Wedding Band Show. Hopefully you're doing well on this Monday morning. It's a bit miserable outside. So with this, Wedding Band Show has gone live. Just checking in on all the wedding suppliers, seeing how everybody's getting on. And today we're going to videography land and we've got Jason Nolan on the line. So, Jason, how are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm good. Thanks.
That's good. How are you keeping? Kids back to school this morning?
Yeah, it's a good day. I know. that's the good thing about lockdown too. You know, at least the kids are back at school for them and for the parents, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. How many kids have you now? Is it two?
Three.
Three kids. Oh, right. Yeah. So, yeah, saw your relief this morning. So, are they all in school actually?
Yeah, there's three different schools. So, we've got a secondary school, primary school, and creche.
Something like ourselves, secondary, primary, and play school. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's all going in the mornings. But, you know, once you come back after the school run, it's that lovely time. You can just chillax and do your work.
Well, our first pickup, actually, 3 days a week is 12:30, so you don't get much of a chance. You get a couple of hours. It's not too bad.
It's amazing how productive you become to get that, you know, from like 9 until, for me, it's until 2:20.
Yeah.
Although since lockdown too, my fiance, she's off too, so that's helped in that regard as well.
Has she roped you into like DIY jobs and stuff like that? No. Like my house.
Not really. I think she'd be afraid to get me to do these things because walls would start falling off and yeah.
So how, I suppose, in general, Jason Nolan Wedding Films, how has the whole 2020 COVID thing affected you overall?
Yeah, well, it's certainly took the weddings out of the Jason Nolan films, wedding films. It's been a big hit, really. I think like normally I would be doing, you know, about 55, 54 weddings. And that's been consistent for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And this year, I think I have done 5. I'm not sure yet. So the wedding side of the business has, you know, is on pause essentially, apart from a few here or there.
Yeah. Have you done any weddings under the restrictions?
Yeah, I did 2. So I did one. Well, I did 3 actually, but that was one of them was for shooting for somebody else. Mm. One of the weddings I did was when it was 50, and it was actually one of the best weddings I've ever done.
Yeah,
it was just a really lovely personal wedding. They had the ceremony was in their living room in their house.
Okay. Yeah,
the celebrant was their auntie.
Oh, right. Good.
They had a marquee in the garden, and in their, you know, kind of estate garden, and all the neighbors, you know, were coming in, and it was just really nice and so relaxed. You know, we didn't have to rush around or anything. So it was a beautiful day. It was my first wedding in months, and I managed to drop a camera on the floor and get my drone stuck in a tree. So there was that, but you know,
you were out of practice as well.
Oh, I'm straight into a tree. You know, it was, you know, never crashed. That was my first crash, and it was just
That's 2020.
And then I did another church wedding in Ahagower, and that was 50 as well. So that was fine as well. I think 50. We were just coming around to the 50, you know, the 50 max, and you know, people were adapting to it, and people, you know, the couples who chose to get married, you know, they could have a lovely wedding. But you know, now with the next raft of restrictions, I just lost, you know, the few weddings I had in, you know, the end of October and November.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I was talking about that to Ronnie Dignan there on Friday, a Saturday night, and we were saying like 50 is actually nice. 25 is a little bit short, you know, guest numbers.
It is.
Because you're always going to, you know, like there's going to be at least 5 probably outsider, you know, so you're really looking at 15, 20 in the room, you know. But 50, we had 2 at the 50 as well, and they were great nights. You know, we really enjoyed it. Like you said, a bit more intimate kind of family. One of them was a little marquee at the house, and it was lovely. You know, I don't think 50 is a problem at all.
No, like the other part of it, we were going to get married ourselves this year. So, you know, I'm both the supplier and we're also kind of an affected couple in a way.
Were you shouting for deposits back?
I was lucky enough. We timed it well in that we had planned on being married, on getting married this year, but we actually postponed it ourselves at Christmas because, you know, we had other things that we wanted to get done first. So we got really lucky in that regard. But when we wanted a small wedding anyway, and even just looking at your immediate family, your friends, your small circle, we got to 50 really quickly. Because I was looking at, we were going to go abroad, so we were looking at, you know, renting a place for a week, and so I was kind of thinking, there won't be, there'll be maybe 20, 30 people, but as soon as you start adding it up, it very quickly gets to 50, and that's just your, you know, brothers, sisters, their children, you know, your parents, and you know, your friends. You know,
I suppose, like, it's okay if you're from a smaller family. But like if you have, I don't know, if you have four or five brothers and sisters and then your fiance has three or four as well, like straight away, then, you know, like 50 is about the minimum you can do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But and I don't think there's many weddings happening at the 25, is there? Or have you had any that moved when it dropped from the 50 to 25?
Well, a lot of them, I have had a lot of, well, the ones I had that were kind of thinking about going ahead, they've just rescheduled. My remaining weddings for this year are in December, so there's five of them in December, and up until, so I guess you know, it's those guys are waiting to see, hopefully, you know, signs are good that we'll have restrictions lifted in December, but we just don't know, you know. So
it would be nice if it even went up to the 50 again.
I'd love that. And if they lift those silly restrictions about hair, makeup and live music, that's, you know, it's almost like, you know, the skeptical side of me thinks that they're allowing weddings, but they're making it very difficult to have a wedding so that the general public will think, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, you're allowed. It's that, you thing know? Where, well, we're not stopping you getting married, but they really are, in a way, you know, in a roundabout way.
It's like a constructive dismissal. You know, the boss doesn't fire you, but makes your work so difficult that you just leave. So something along those lines.
Hopefully, the live music thing as well. You know, like if you've got 25 or 50 people in a room, and you know, the difference between that and them being around each other all day, or dancing a little bit on a dance floor and having a first dance, like, what, you know, what's the big deal there, really, when you think about
I mean, a wedding is a celebration, you know. There's plenty of formal events that you can go to, you know have a dinner and a ceremony and dinner, but a wedding at its core is a celebration, and you know, it's been like that for hundreds and thousands of years. And it's, you know, to take that aspect away is really, like, the first dance is a fundamental. I mean, we know from, you know, from myself, you know, you've got key moments you've got in the wedding, and, you know, the vows being one, the first dance being the other. These are key moments. And to take that away from couples, I think, is just unfair.
But then, I suppose, all of that aside, you've moved into live streaming. Has that happened? Was that on the cards anyway, or was it kind of COVID just gave you a push in that direction?
I'd had some experience with it because, and I've worked with another man on a couple of weddings of my own where they'd asked me for live streaming. But they had elderly grandparents that couldn't make the wedding. There was usually family abroad, so I'd seen it done, and it was something that I had an interest in. And when COVID came, it was kind of a no-brainer to me to think this should be, this is going to be something that I'm going to need to do. And you know, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. So I did a lot of research. Whatever money I had, I spent quite a bit on equipment. I know you can do it simpler, but like everything, I do things overkill. And it's been a nice little side. And it's mainly it's cool just to have something to get you out of the house and do a bit of work, because you know yourself, you get cabin fever when you know you're not going out working. So and I've done some really enjoyable things. Like I worked with John Murphy. He's another videographer.
Yeah.
And we live streamed a few GAA matches.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant because John was shooting, I was sitting behind a desk pressing buttons, and we had a commentator fed in as well. So it was like this little production team, and people loved it, and everybody said it was really good. So I enjoyed that.
I did a few of those back in the day too, and it is nice, a part of a team. I suppose it's different, you know, for the little productions like that. For me, live streaming a wedding seems like a complete headache. Like there's a lot that goes into it.
Absolutely. A wedding is the hardest thing to live stream because, as you know yourself, with a wedding, you need angle. You know, you have to have a camera going that way. You've got to have one going this way. You need to be discreet. You can't have wires everywhere. It's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
And even little things like I live streamed a wedding in October, and I couldn't get into the church until I think I had half an hour set up. So it was a really tight, get in there, because the church had to be sanitized and it was just locked. I was sitting outside the church for an hour and a half. And then the musicians and myself had to kind of scramble in and find a spot and get everything ready. And it was, you know, it was a bit of stress, but it worked out well in the end.
How does it work for our coverage then? Like, you know, like if a couple are thinking about live streaming a wedding, like, what do you tell them? Like, does it have to have kind of 4G coverage in the area, or how does all that work? Do you do a site inspection type thing before you?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that I had invested in is I have a system where I can bond together up to four different connections. So usually I would have two Vodafone routers going and two, three routers going.
Yeah.
And that way, if any one of them goes down, which they do quite frequently, you're covered. Like one of the things that can happen quite frequently when you're live streaming a wedding is many times some of the friends may be outside the church and everybody will start tuning into your live stream. Your signal is really good. And then, you know, right at the beginning, everyone starts tuning in and suddenly it drops. So that's why, at least when you have the fallback of the other, the system, it does add complexity and it does add time, but so far it's been bulletproof. And that's, you know, that's, people are paying me for a service, it has to be right. So,
and then are you live streaming kind of one wide camera at the back, or are all your cameras kind of connected to a switcher, or what kind of way do you do it?
Yeah, everything's connected to a switcher. So I set it up similar to how I would shoot a wedding. So I have a camera on the kind of the couple and the, you know, the kind of family in the pews.
Yeah.
And then I have another camera at the readers, and I can adjust them. I can switch, adjust a camera. So it's a little bit of a hybrid, and that's one of the things I do. So it's not just, because a static wide camera is fine,
yeah,
but it's kind of boring, you know. So
very, very boring. You
want to have, you know, like we do with video, we don't film a wedding and come in with a static wide camera and that's it. We try and mix it up a bit. So that's what I try and do anyway. And it is a little bit more difficult because you're not as free to move around, but you may have to shoot a little bit wider. So it's obviously you're never going to have the same end result as a polished wedding video. But the beauty of the hybrid approach is it's possible to have both, where you can have the live stream, everything's recorded, and then it can be edited after the fact if you want as well.
Yeah. So even though you're streaming on a camera, you're recording to the SD card, and then after you've seen the footage. Yeah. Is it popular so far since you launched it, or how are you finding things?
I don't just do weddings. One of the things that I've done the most of is, and something I never thought I would be doing, but I have been doing, is streaming funerals. And it sounds, I suppose,
they'd be usually last minute bookings, so wouldn't they?
Very last minute. I could get a call today.
Your
for
diary
tomorrow.
Is full next year for funerals. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying my best. I'm taking live stream jobs and the short term. I don't want to commit myself to, you know, at the end of the day, I want to be shooting weddings. I want to be doing what I do. So I don't want to book too far out next year. I do have people, and if I'd rather shoot the wedding and outsource the live streaming to someone who I know and trust. So But no, I mean, even funerals, it's, people are so grateful. Like after a stream, I often get emails from people abroad thanking me for the stream and for them being able to watch their, you know, their friend's funeral. And it's, it might have seemed morbid at first to do something and intrusive, but your people are so thankful, and it's, you know, it's probably a nice little comfort for people who are, especially people who are abroad, who just can't make it at all.
Even in a post-COVID world, live streaming a funeral, you'd imagine, would be a nice thing to be able to do and for people to get, because like that, you know, funerals happen 3, 4, 5 days notice. So people can't always get home, you know, especially if they're in Australia and stuff. So I think it would be. Yeah, I think a live streaming funerals will be nice for people that can't be there. What are you finding trend in the wedding world then? Is are people looking at 22, 23?
At the moment, every time there's a change, like in restrictions, there's always that's followed by like a week of just no activity.
Yeah.
But 2022 inquiries are coming in. They're still not as high as they would have been, you know, this time last year.
Yeah.
But and I was getting a few 2021 inquiries up until we hit level 5, but since level 5, I find it's 2022 that the latest inquiries are coming in, which is understandable as well.
Yeah, I'd say there's still a lot of people on the fence. And maybe if things open up in January, there could be an influx all of a sudden of weddings for 22.
Absolutely, you know?
Hopefully.
And I think it comes down to, like, speaking to the couples, it comes down to where they're at with their life plan, because most people who are getting married, the wedding isn't the only thing they're doing. They could be, you know, trying to buy a house. They could be,
having babies.
Planning a family, having babies. Now, we've done things, you know, we've had the babies and all that stuff, you know, so.
You went completely backwards. Yeah.
Backwards, yeah. but I know a lot of people, you know, they have this, the wedding is part of a longer term plan. And as one groom said to me, we're not going to put our lives on hold for years, you know, because of the wedding.
Exactly. That's a good point. Yeah.
So some couples will just say, look, let's just get it done. You know, we want to get it. Or there might be reasons. Maybe their parents might be, you know, they don't want to hold people up. So I think, it comes down to the couple, whether they want to just do it with restrictions or wait, you know, until they're lifted, which hopefully won't be that long away in the future.
Yeah. And what advice would you have for any couple, say, that have their weddings planned within the next 6 months, you know, maybe up to March, April, May? What would you be telling them? They're probably a bit worried.
It's still a long time. You've, like, think about how things changed. Like, think of February this year and how things changed in 1 month. And like, this pandemic could end as quickly as it came in, nobody knows. So I would say there's no need to make a decision right now. I don't think there's a huge, I'm speaking for myself. There's no huge pressure to, you know, book up a supplier for, 2022, as long as you're flexible on your dates, which you are because you've rescheduled already, then you will find a date, you know. So I would say if you don't mind, you can wait, hang on and see what happens. You know, things may change, like, as I said, very quickly. And don't be worried about leaving things until, you know, the last minute to make a decision, because, you know, you'll always find that you can, you know, change, find a date that suits suppliers. We're so used to dealing with this now that, you know, we're good at working with couples and hotels and, you know, getting a date that suits everybody. So,
yeah, I think, yeah. And like you said there, the important thing is just talk to your suppliers as well. You know, so if you are worried or on the fence, or just reach out to everybody, you know, and like that, we're used to it at this stage, moving dates and plan Bs and diaries and stuff like that. You will find dates once you're flexible. You'll always will.
If you like, one of the issues that arose with the first round of reschedules was, if don't pick your date first, like if you have a list of suppliers that you want to keep, then check in with them and say, look, we're thinking about moving our date. When are you available?
Yeah.
And get a list off every supplier. And then you can say, well, look, this suits, you know, as many as we can. And
If they want a Saturday in July, August, September, you know, just say, look, we're looking at Saturdays in these months or Fridays in these months. And, you know, and then, yeah, get it from everybody and work it out from there then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might lose one or two suppliers doing it that way, but if you pick a date first, you could lose all your suppliers and you'd be back to square one then.
Yeah. And you know, most of us will have a network of other suppliers that we would recommend.
Mm. Yeah.
And actually what I've been doing, you know, with a few other people is offering to, instead of, if I'm not available for a date, I can get somebody who I know to shoot the wedding for me, and I will edit it. And that way it's more keeping with kind of my style, which is a lot.
Which is what they wanted. Yeah. Which wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, they may be losing me shooting, but they're not losing, you know, the style of the editing and how I do that, which, I think the way I shoot, that lends itself to that, because I shoot very quite cleanly. I don't do a lot of, I suppose I'm quite classical in the way I shoot and edit. So with another shooter's footage, I can edit according to my style as well. Mm. And that's also less hassle for the couple, because they don't have to, you know, change to a different supplier.
Yeah.
So that's something, I know that doesn't suit everybody, but that's something that I've been doing.
Yeah. And that's a good point, actually. When you think about it, a lot of the video style is from the editing side, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like, more so than photography, I think.
Yeah. Like everybody, you know, you kind of hold the camera on the bride during the vows or whatever, you know, they're kind of standard, but then it's the way you chop it up and how you manipulate the footage after that really gives the style. So if they have booked you and they like your style and you're still going to edit the video, it's going to be very, very close to what they would have got with you anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I've shot for other videographers and some of them with very different styles, but, and I asked them that, I said, do you want me to shoot in a different way? And she's just said, no, just do your thing. You know, we'll make it our own.
Yeah.
And they did, which was great. So, you know, because they're, it was Edit House in Dublin and they're really cool. You know, they're really kind of funky, fast paced stuff. And you know, the way they chop in clips, it's, you know, once you've shot it well, and, you know, hopefully I did, then it's, hopefully, they can, you know, they can do their own thing with it. So that's, whereas photography is a little bit different. The style is a lot in the shots and the posing. And
the lighting and stuff,
So you can always tell certain photographers, you know, by the type of shots they do, you know.
Mm-hmm. You came from a photography background, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do much of that now these days, or?
No, most videographers I think are failed photographers. when I started, I really wanted to do photography, and I put everything into my photography brand and website, which is terrible. It was terrible. And video, I did.
You can still find
video.
It. You can still find it. Do you ever use that? I forget the name of it now. The website Time Machine. You know the. There's like.
Well, I think I left it up for years anyway, just for SEO purposes, because links to my video site. But it just dropped out, and I had it up, well up on Google as well. But and it was a site I created from scratch. It was coded like HTML, CSS.
Okay, right, yeah.
So it was horrific, obviously. Yeah. So since then, I've moved to Squarespace. But that just didn't work out, and it was like at the time. That was around the time that Kieran Deignan was top of it. You know, he was kind of new kid on the block, and he was just amazing. Mm. And you know, I just thought, wow, this guy is you know, a million times better than I am, which he is and was, obviously.
Yeah.
But video was an afterthought, because I didn't like video, because I'd shot a few wedding videos with a photographer for him.
Mm.
And I was using his camera, and it was one of the, obviously, a video camera. And
the old school,
the way people reacted to me, it was, you know, I always felt like, oh, you know, people are very shy in front of the camera. I found it difficult and not an enjoyable experience. But the funny thing, what started to happen is that people started to like the videos really that I was doing, and they started to want to book. They wanted to book the video. They wanted to book me and not the other guy, the photographer.
Oh, okay, right.
I hope he's not watching. I won't mention any names. And then he didn't pay very well, so we kind of had a fallout over money. So I got a bit mad one day and said, you know what? I'm just going to set up a video website. I threw up a free template, put the samples up, and almost immediately started getting booked. So
what year was this then? What was it?
That was 2014, May 2014.
Okay.
And in 2015, I had 54 weddings. It was a crazy start. And ever since then, it's just been fully full calendar up until this year.
And then I suppose if you had a choice tomorrow to be a photographer or a videographer for a wedding, which one would you pick?
Videographer, without shadow of a doubt.
Yeah,
it suits my personality, because I don't have the right personality to be a photographer.
Yeah,
you know, I don't.
I could never. Yeah, I don't have an ego. No, I could never. No, I could never. Like you know, guys like Richard and stuff like that. You'd see them working at weddings, and I don't know. I prefer to be in the background with the camera. You know,
absolutely. You know, I prefer, and that's my personality. That's my style, and I think many videographers we're a bit more technical, and you know, we prefer to sit at our desks and just clicking buttons.
Introverted,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Photographers are extroverted. Like we've all I try sometimes to do some direction, and it's funny because I'll always get a slagging off, you know, if I know the photographer, they'll always kind of jump in and help me and save me.
Yeah.
they'll just see like the sweat start. I just, you know, I'm not good at that. So,
Any looking back, I suppose not over yet, but any positives that came out of 2020 for you?
Oh yeah, loads. I try to be positive, or try to put a positive spin on everything. So, one of the biggest things, obviously, was not having is clearing the backlog.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I started in video, I've always had a wedding to edit, or you know, 10 weddings, you know, at the peak times, and it's always that pressure to, you know, to keep going.
Mm.
So when I being able to take that time now is lovely, and.
Yeah.
You know, not to feel like under pressure to, you know, that you have so many weddings, kind of, because they are still seasonal and they cramp together the edits, and you know, the pressure then up to Christmas. So not having that is really nice. I often felt that I'd love some time to work on other projects that I never had chance to do. Like I launched the corporate brand that was always in the back of my mind. And now that has its thing, that has its website. It's
Is that Wild Castle? Is it?
Wild Castle Studios.
Yeah.
I went with the kind of a castle theme because I'm from Castlebar.
Okay.
So, but I wanted. I think I wanted something else, but I couldn't get the URL. But yeah, so Wild Castle Studios is the long-term idea with that is that's going to be the kind of umbrella of Wild Castle, you know, the castle streaming.
Everything will fall under that, yeah.
Yeah, and that in time, as I get older and, you know, that I can actually start to do, you know, maybe a separate wedding brand within Wild Castle Weddings, where, you know, I'm actually, you know, people are shooting for me and, you know, so, you know, that's more of a long-term solution. But
I suppose this break has given you a chance to kind of reevaluate all that. And
absolutely.
Kind of get clear with your thoughts on what the future is. Whereas before, like you said, if you're just editing videos every day, you don't really get a chance to think about the future, or, you know, similar to myself, I've done a few projects that I never would have got a chance to do, you know. And that wasn't even full time editing like you. Like, I still had my week, but I found that, you know, if you're gigging Friday, Saturday, and maybe Thursday or Sunday every now and again, you know, and your weekends are gone, and then you've got the kids as well during the week and all that kind of school and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
You don't have much time. So no, I'm kind of enjoying the break as well, to be honest. I feel bad. Yeah, I feel bad.
I know, but the way I see it as well is that, okay, 2020 is financially it's a bad year, and like it's not that bad either. It's not as bad as I'm sure other people are going through way worse situations.
Definitely,
You know, my income is down. Of course it is, but it's not. You know, I can still pay my bills. I can still, you know, we're nothing's much changed, even for the kids and that. They don't see anything. That's the most important thing.
Same here. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, maybe Santa will be a little bit more prudent this year, but
he's been cut too, hasn't he?
He has.
Health and safety and all the COVID regulations for the elves.
He's
and stuff.
Limited on what he can carry, and social distancing in the workshop has had its impact. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. But I think in the long term, the way I see it is that, let's say this year you've lost, you know, X amount of your income. Fine. But what you do this year might actually make up for that over time. You know, by working on a corporate brand, other projects, and they may fail, but at least you tried them. And that's the main thing, I think. And anybody who's in business knows that, like photography for me, that's what I wanted to do. It failed. Video worked. Actually, before that, I was doing web design. That failed. Graphic design. That failed. I was doing kind of IT stuff as well. So there was lots of things that didn't work. And then one did work.
But elements of all those, if you want to call them failures, have helped you become where you are today.
Exactly. And some of those things, like even the web design, that's coming back now because I'm able to now create these websites for myself, for my own business. So
yeah,
it's so in the long term, it might mean, you know, I might be able to achieve the goals that I've always had, which is maybe to do a mixture of, we'll say, instead of doing 50, 60 weddings, do 30 weddings, do some corporate work, do some other, you know, diversify. Yeah. And then that's, it's nice to be able to do different. It's interesting to do something different from time to time as well. So.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, life is short, you know, so, and it's easy. It's easy to get caught in the 50, 60 weddings kind of cycle every year. You wonder, you look back and go, what was it all for? If you didn't get a chance to do the things that you really want to do.
Yeah. And even for your own, even for just weddings, it's very hard to keep that level of creativity up when you're doing a lot of weddings. And this time has allowed me to take a step back and look at the weddings, look at the way I do things and improve on that. So, you know, once, you know, now that I'm, you know, hopefully improving and, you know, giving me time to improve my style, and that'll hopefully will hopefully see the benefits of that when I actually shoot some weddings, you know.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day, one of the American videography podcasts, and he was saying how he only does 15 weddings a year. And I was thinking, God, that's low. You know, 15, I was adding up my head. But then transpired, he charges $10,000 a wedding.
Yeah, video. Well, there's
So that's too, that's okay, if we could get... So maybe if you started charging that, Jason, $10,000 a wedding, you'd do 15 a year.
I know, but then think about those people. Which, you know, I've had this conversation with other videographers that there's a lot of people who are in pursuit of the, quote, high-end market.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Does that come with... What type of people are those people? I mean, are you going to have... increased headaches.
There might be a few that will be the same, but I'd imagine if a couple were paying 5 to 10,000 euro for a wedding video, there's more headaches on the videographer. They're looking for a different production, you know.
And I think that's the word. I think it's a production. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I do have talked to guys who are at the high end. You know, Richard Lang, Michael Toman, and they're both down to earth, lovely guys. And, you know, from their stories of the weddings, they're just kind of rich people who are nice. So, you know, it's probably until you've done it, I think, you know, they probably are just normal weddings, just with people with lots of money. Although I did shoot a promo for Tommy, the DJ Tommy Elliott.
Oh yeah,
and it was in Ashford Castle, and this wedding was, it was on Vogue magazine. It was quite a high end wedding, and they had a marquee. The funny thing was, they booked Ashford Castle, but they had the reception in a marquee outside, which I kind of thought was funny. But you know, they had like a drum show, then they had a live band, and then they had the DJ, they had a guy doing the light show. Like, there was this gigantic disco ball and there was lights beaming off it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But I thought everybody was floating because they were so rich. Did you ever get that? Where,
You know,
they were just floating through, it just felt strange, but they were having a great time, and the dance floor was jammers, and it was, you know, it was a great wedding. But funnily enough, they didn't like the band. They brought this band in from the UK, and the brides didn't like the band, and at the interval told them, "That's it, sorry, we're going to have the DJ now."
Ooh.
So,
and I, without naming, I'd say the without naming the band, would you agree with the bride?
No, I was watching this band. This band was fantastic. I mean, maybe it was just it wasn't their taste, but these guys were, you know, there was loads of them. There was guys with double basses. It was a real. I don't know what the term is, but I thought it was brilliant, and it sounded great to me. So,
and people were dancing, and
yeah. There was nothing wrong with it. I mean, we were all shocked, and Tommy was shocked as well. And really, can you imagine how nervous Tommy felt then?
There's a bit of pressure. Yeah, there's a bit of pressure. The floor is full. Yeah. The band are told they're not good enough. You're up next.
Next, buddy. Oh. Yeah, so they loved what he did as well. So that was great. But again, that band were probably really expensive, high end.
Yeah.
But you know, if they got told to go home, I mean, that's not going to happen in the Broadhaven Bay, or you know, what I would, you know, a normal wedding for
a regular,
people,
yeah,
you know. Like us, you know, like just...
Well, so far, Touchwood, as a band, we've never been told to stop early. But yeah, that wouldn't be nice.
You've had videographers staring at you saying, when are these lads
going? Oh, to start early, but not stop.
not you, Brian. But that's actually funny, because it's one of the things of the pandemic that, you know, we often joke about what would we keep? And the early first dance is definitely something...
The half 11 finish time on the two we had, and one of them actually finished at 11. I don't know. I'd love to keep that. Now maybe, you know, even
if
it went to 12 or half 12, but like I've had discos where I didn't finish till, you know, quarter to, well, the latest ever was quarter to four, but that was a bit of a regular one. But usually it's half two now, or it was, which is very late. It is very late. But that's, I feel like I have to go to half two because generally the first dance is later these days. And through no fault of anyone, but by the time we get into the room, it can be like half nine. Even to start setting
course,
up, you know, so then you just feel like you have to, you know, keep going. But half two is very late. You know, I'd love if weddings came forward and, you know, we were getting in the room earlier as a band and first dances were back to even half eight, 9 o'clock, you know, it'd be great, you know.
And you know what, a good friend of mine made this point and I thought this was very early on in the pandemic. And he said that what this pandemic will do is it will reassess what we think about things like weddings. And, you know, I suppose we were all, you know, working over the last few years, and you could have said that weddings, they were just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. And there was more and more stuff being put into a wedding. And sometimes it felt like you were rushing and racing with the couple from 10 o'clock in the morning up until 10 o'clock at nighttime. And they never got a chance to enjoy their wedding. Mm. And I think that, you know, that was for me when I was, you know, thinking about my own wedding and we were thinking about my own wedding. I didn't want that. I wanted to enjoy my wedding and do things a little bit different. Things like do a first look where you can have your photo shoot before the ceremony, have your ceremony, and then just go straight into your reception. I love that concept. I know it's an American thing, and I know it's not as traditional, but I think it's really cool.
I've been part of a few of them as well, and I think they're the best thing ever. And one of them, the photographer had all the shots with the bride and groom and the bridal party and all that kind of thing all out of the way before the ceremony.
Yeah,
like that. You're exactly right. I find the wedding is just, it's kind of rush, rush, rush all day. And then I kind of prefer the civil, because I find in the church, everybody's even nervous. So you're adding to that, you know, so the groom is nearly afraid to turn around or, you know, to give the bride a hug or whatever, you know. Everyone's
well, sometimes they're told not, sometimes they're told not to.
Well,
that's something that I didn't know this at first, but I often thought, why is the groom facing me and, you know, not facing his bride? Yeah. But apparently when guys are really nervous, they're told, don't look around because you'll get emotional. It's your wedding. Get emotional.
You're allowed to get. Yeah, that's the whole idea. Yeah.
It looks great on camera. Sorry. But yeah, you're allowed to get emotional, and it's lovely. It's your wedding day. If you can't, you know, it's a bit like the doctor, you know, don't look at your new baby. You might get emotional, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, if people want to do the church thing, because like I did a wedding recently and the couple were very religious, and that was a huge thing for them. Mm. The ceremony was the highlight of their day because, you know, they were deeply religious. That's, you know, they met through, you know, the connections. Their friends were the priests were their friends, which was great because they had three priests, and, you know, the priests were at the reception dancing away and everything. So, you know, that side of it can be lovely as well. But I do think then there's, you know, if people are on the fence and they're just, they're choosing to go one way because of, you know, they don't want to upset mammy and daddy or somebody, you know. I think there is a bit of a shift towards, and there's some really nice, I mean, it doesn't have to be a civil ceremony. You've got the spiritual ceremonies now, which are fantastic.
Yeah.
Some of them celebrants are so nice. Mm. Like end of heart. I mean,
It's very relaxed.
Yeah. You know, really relaxed and personal. And I mean, obviously a church wedding can be too, if you've got a priest that you know and that knows you. So it can work.
Well, some of the priests are like comedians.
I suppose it's unfair to put, I mean, like some of the priests, I mean, we all know Father Charlie, for example.
Yeah.
Father Judge, Cross Malina, you know, those guys are fantastic. And, you know, they make the wedding personal. And I think it's more so, it's not the setting, it's often the celebrant. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully with the whole COVID thing coming out the other side, that it might just bring, I suppose, the true meaning of the wedding back, you know, where it's not this kind of factory job, you know, where you need to have so many people, you need to be 250 and you need to, you know, and that the whole, you know, that there's more emphasis maybe on the actual, you know, a nice ceremony early in the day. If the numbers are a bit smaller, I always have a feeling, maybe I could be wrong, that some of the weddings that were, you know, in the 250s, if the couple had their choice, it would have been maybe 100 guests, you know. They felt they had to ask people, or they had just been at so many weddings out of the village that, you know, that kind of thing. So this, in one way, this is the perfect excuse to kind of rewind all that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, because a lot of people who want to have, they want to have a smaller weddings. They were actually choosing to go abroad because,
yeah, true.
It's normal to have a smaller wedding abroad, whereas to have a smaller wedding in Ireland before COVID was a bit different, even though they were always lovely. Mm. And as a supplier, having seen hundreds of weddings, some of the best weddings that I can remember were smaller weddings. Mm. They were just, you know, more intimate. So I think there will be a change. That's one of the changes. I think things are going to go back to basics a bit. I think things are going to be a little bit more seasonal as well, because I think people are going to, I don't know about your inquiries, if you noticed this, but I think a lot of people looking at 2022 are looking at the summer of 2022.
True.
Because I think that's going to be a factor going forward, that the winter weddings are going to become less popular because of the fear of these things happening again. So certainly if I was choosing a date, I'd be looking at July, or, you know, which isn't great for wedding suppliers, of course, but this is again why there is a need for us to diversify, because it's been shown that when you just do one thing, even if you're doing it well and the business is going well in the space of a few weeks, then you can go from having, you know, a full calendar to having nothing. So,
just commenting here, actually, I'll add this. Colm Kavanagh is wondering, what's our thoughts on weddings going ahead around Christmas? So I'm assuming it's this Christmas you're talking about, Colm. What's your thoughts on that, Jason? Or have you got, you said you have a few left for December.
I have five couples who have all contacted me, and I've contacted them, and they want to go ahead, and they're at they're at their stage where they want to have their wedding no matter what, you know, they're determined to push through. Hopefully we'll see restrictions, you know, being a little bit better for December. Like, if I'd love to see it getting back to 50 guests, and I'd love to see live music. Now, behind the scenes, we're sending letters and annoying the arses off our TDs to try and, you know, to try and get these things heard. So I would say I love to, Christmas weddings are always special. They're lovely. The feeling around Christmas is lovely. So, but it comes down to you as a couple and where you're at in terms of your life plan, I would say. And, you know, if you've got your heart set on a big wedding, then that's not going to happen this December.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to have a lovely smaller wedding, then, you know, by all means, go for it.
I think a wedding this Christmas would actually be extra special then. Because of the year that's just passed, and if you have 25 to 50 people having a meal, I'm just thinking, you know, the venues at Christmas, it's kind of nice and cozy, and, you know, I think it'd be a lovely night, you know.
Yeah.
Now it is looking like it could be my first Christmas off properly off since I was about 14. It'll be my first. It'll be my first New Year's Eve at home. Since
what are you now? 17?
No, 18 last year. No, since I started gigging, I think I was about 14, and then every New Year's Eve's always gone. So this is the first one. This is the first one I'll be at home. But my wife has always given out, oh, you know, you're always gone. So I said to her this year, well, I'm going to see what all the fuss is about now. So I'm expecting.
Do you know what this, you know what it also means, Brian, is that we can't use the excuse of, well, I'm very quiet in January, February.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I have to. Yeah.
If you manage for 8 months, you'll be fine. You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is going to happen for years now, isn't it? If you say you can't take a night off. Well, you took a whole year off in 2020 and I'd say, look, Christmas weddings. When is this the second lockdown over? Is that over at the first week of December? Isn't it?
Is that one? Do you know something I don't? Well, it's they've said that it's the plan is for them to finish at the beginning of December. Now, signs are good. Like it's been a week and already the cases are dropping, and. Which has nothing to do with level 5. That was level 3 that's done that. But that's a really positive sign. Now, anybody with kind of a bit of sense will kind of think, oh God, if they open up again in December, people go crazy and we'll be back down to lockdown in January. But you know what? I'd take that.
Yeah.
I'd just say, can we just give it a break and just give COVID a break for December? I know that's obviously... We still need to protect the vulnerable and we still need to, and hopefully, you know, they are doing that and that, you know, there's signs now that they are doing a lot better than they did in the first lockdown. Like cases are higher, deaths are way lower, you know, so hats off to the people, you know, at the front line doing that. But, you know, in terms of the restrictions being so harsh, if we ease them off for December, at least so that we can have the Christmas spirit and, you know, and then, I mean, January for a lot of people is a bit of a lockdown anyway, because, you know, you have no money usually and you're just, all you're doing is working and avoiding shops. So, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. So it's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah. So I think, but just on Colm's question about Christmas weddings, I think that'd be just my thought that maybe the first week in December, they might bring the numbers back up to 50. And if they do, I think any of the weddings that are planning to go ahead around Christmas would be really nice weddings at 50 guests.
Yeah.
And then, you know, are you actually out this New Year's Eve? Have you still got that one? Do you know? Or
no, it's free. I'm picky enough about what I do on New Year's Eve. I only stay, that week in general, I only take local weddings. I don't like to travel. I want to be home early. Yeah. And I'm out on the 28th and the 29th, and that suits me. That's fine. I was off last New Year's Eve just by chance as well. So I think, or was I? Last year or the year before, like one of them. And yeah, I try not to, because one year I did like 4 or 5 in a row, and it was really hard, you know.
That's hard on video. Now, on band-wise, we do, you know, we could do 7 or 8, you know, the week after Christmas, and it's fine. But like on the 9th day, you're done. But with the video on the after 4 or 5 weddings, you still have whatever, like a month's worth of editing to do, like, you know.
Yeah, which is usually fine because you're usually quiet in January and February. But the problem with video is that, you know yourself, if you've got a wedding, if I have a wedding tomorrow, then I'm charging now. I'm thinking about, like, you nearly spend your entire day preparing. Oh, I'm gone.
You're gone there, Jason. Did your battery run out?
My camera battery. Hang on a second.
There you go. Videographers.
Videographer points. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfect, yeah. So Colm had follow-up there. Colm was just saying as a follow-up, he said they still have a few in the book. Not sure if they'll go ahead. Very unsure as to what to do with the van because it's parked up the last 6 months.
I can tell you what to do with the van, Colm.
Sell it?
Start working for Fastway. They're crying out for drivers.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the nicest job, I think, would it?
Actually, a friend of mine works for them, and they are really looking for, like, so kind of on a semi-serious note, if you have a van and you're already kind of self-employed and, you know, you're looking for a bit of seasonal work, it's not bad. It's not a bad option to look into. I need to find a battery.
Hold on. I'll keep the show going, Jason. It's fine.
Keep the show going. I'll keep talking. Yeah.
Now we have Leo Fitzpatrick is just commenting here. He's saying to Colin, he can't see it. Most brides are now looking at April onwards on advice of hotels. That's it too. You see, it depends on the venues. The venues, a lot of them take different approaches.
Yeah.
You know, so some venues, you know, might be a bit more accommodating than others. So that's a big factor too on whether couples move or stay with December.
You know? Yeah. I think it's unfortunate really because, you know, we had a nice spell during the summer.
I should have had a picture of you ready there, Jason, to throw in.
I know. Hang on, I'm nearly there.
Placeholder.
I've got some power coming here.
Ding, 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 ding.
I didn't think of this.
Yeah, I have mine left on the desk as a reminder before I start each stream, just to change them out.
Yeah, but
of course you can, and I was looking it up. I wanted to get one. I don't know if you have one. You know, one of them dummy batteries.
Yeah, well, the thing about this one is I forgot to plug it in because it's it can be charged via USB as well. So,
all right, yeah.
So I should have just had it plugged into power, which I didn't. Pop this in here. Pop that in there.
There we go.
I am.
There we go.
Okay, it's a bit fuzzy, but it'll come back in a second.
Yeah. What you can do, I suppose, I can switch to my webcam as well if that happens to me, but the quality drops significantly. I'd say, lads, look, the people in the comments there, it depends. Yeah, like Leo said, it depends too on the venue. If the venues are pushing weddings, some venues don't seem to really want to do the weddings at the minute, so they're probably advising them to move. And then there's other venues actively looking for weddings of smaller numbers. So it all depends, you know, each wedding is different at the end of the day.
I think if it was me, if I was planning a smaller wedding now, and, you know, I think one of the secrets to a smaller wedding is an appropriate venue or an appropriate kind of, you know, some venues lend themselves better to smaller numbers. And now, it doesn't have to be like the size of the venue. Some of them can really partition a room and make it work. So
yeah.
I know some of my couples have had to change venue, and there's some lovely smaller venues out there as well that might suit a smaller wedding.
And if you are going, the regular hotels, a lot of them can partition the room and bring it down, because I think especially from a band's point of view, you know, for like your you know, just for the dancing and the atmosphere, you want people as close as you can. I know that goes against everything we're supposed to be doing now, but it is just something to think of. If you're going to put 25 or 50 people in a massive room, it'll be a bit harder to get an atmosphere going, you know.
Yeah.
But that look, the thing about 25 or 50 people too is you've a lot more options, you know. Like that, there's a lot more venues that you are a possibility then
because there's rooms that, you know, they wouldn't that they can use for the reception. Like Mulrani, one of the weddings I saw there, they used the, when you first go in, the doors, the double doors to Mulrani, the room at the back is a smaller room, and they had the reception in there, and it was perfect.
Yeah,
because, you know, they had four tables and everyone was quite close together. It worked really well, rather than having it in their main function room, which is quite large.
Yeah.
So
Richard McCarthy is in with a comment there. Hey lads, current climate, what's your thoughts on sharing your calendar to brides who want to change dates? Well, that just go back to something we said earlier. I think just if the couples to speed up the planning, if they just narrow it down first. You know, I think they need to probably narrow it down to, you know, at least 2 or 3 months, and then say whether they're looking for a Friday or a Saturday, or, you know, what do you think, Jason?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I did that at the beginning and it just got too difficult to keep track of. But at the very beginning of the pandemic, I sent the couples that I that were, you know, in the next month or two, who I knew had to reschedule. I sent them my calendar and said, look, you know, this is the dates I've booked already. These are the dates I'm available. And it worked well initially, but it got very hard to maintain that because there was so much chopping and changing. And
well, they might, you know, come back to you then. They might just think, oh, Jason's available for the 8th of August. And they might go off for a week, changing their date, and then come back. And by that stage, you could be gone.
Well, funnily enough, about the 8th of August, I had that was one of those dates where I had two couples who wanted to move to the 8th of August, and one had moved first, and I had to say to the second couple, look, I won't be able to shoot your wedding, but I can get somebody else to shoot. Now, since then, both of those couples have moved again. So that's where we're at now, is that we're on, you know, the third round of rescheduling in some cases, or maybe even more for some people. Cool.
Now we should be live again on Facebook. Sorry, guys, my machine crashed.
It wasn't my fault this time.
It wasn't yet. After Jason replaced his battery, my machine crashed.
You can tell we're out of practice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, of all the people that should be getting this right.
I know.
But yeah. So look, Jason. Thanks for coming on. You know, all kind of hopeful stuff, you know, like we're saying, you know, just like you're the right approach. You're using the downtime to kind of get, you know, go into new avenues and stuff like that and get ready. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Where can people find out more about Wildcastle Studios and Jason Nolan Wedding Films and get in touch with you and stuff?
Yeah, well, the for the weddings, it's Jason Nolan Wedding Films. For corporate work, it's Wildcastle Studios. For streaming, I can't even remember these now. For streaming, it's Castle Streaming. That's the one. There may be another one in the pipeline too, but you know, we'll see. Wildcastle Designs might be coming up soon as well.
Castle Photography's not coming back anytime soon.
No, I'm afraid any photographer queries are being referred to the amazing photographers who don't have an ego, by the way, and they're, you know, that's the, you know, it's yes, but for video related stuff, that's my thing.
That's great. Well, thanks everyone for watching, and thanks for all the comments, and thanks Jason for coming on, and
hopefully
we'll see you soon at a wedding.
You've
given out about a first dance. When are we starting? Those were the days.
Exactly.
Right, Jason. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Brian.
Cheers. Bye.
This episode of The Wedding Band Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to hear more. Don't forget to rate and review our show so we can bring you more great content. See you on the next episode.